Okay, now you may be seated. I'm so eager to come to the pulpit today for some reason. So, sorry, Jason. In the name of Jesus, amen. An acquaintance once told me that the church is made up of a whole bunch of sinners, to which I reply, and we can always use some more. You know, the world makes too little of the church. People out there are offended by its transgressions and quite often conclude that the church is made up of a whole bunch of sinners and its leaders are a bunch of hypocrites who preach one thing and do another. For many, the church is a scandal because of its scandals. Christians at times also make too little of the church. We too can see the church from a human perspective, from the institutional side, where bad decisions are made and sinners do not always get along with each other or say or do the right thing. Over the years, I have met many fine Christians who once considered working in the church, but then decided that the church was a mess, filled with problems, lacking in holiness, divided. For many within the church is a scandal. If you look at the church from the perspective of creaturely imperfection or from the dark side of the seduction of evil and sin that troubles its members, then one can easily conclude that there is nothing good in the church, or at least nothing good enough in the church. We can become ecclesial fatalists, dwelling on what is wrong with the church, focusing on its inevitable ignorance or demise. How many of us have dwelled on what is not right with the church? What is not working in the church? Been there, done that. Ecclesial fatalists make too little of the church. Indeed, suck the joy out of the church, you might say. Do not see the gift that is the church. Now, to see the church as a gift requires us to look at it not with human eyes or the eyes of the flesh, but rather from God's perspective, with the eyes of faith of the Holy Spirit. And that is precisely what Paul gives us in the letter to the Ephesians. Rather than dwelling on what is wrong with the church from a human perspective, Paul gives us a view of the church from above, from the divine side of things, from the perspective of how the church fits into God's grand, cosmic, eternal purposes for creation in Christ Jesus. Paul does not make too little of the church. In fact, for Paul, the church is kind of a big deal. The church is an eternal mystery in the heart of God, created in Christ Jesus for an eternal destiny in the vision of God. The church is the elect whom God has chosen through Christ's redemption before the foundation of the world. The church is God's creation, redeemed through Christ's blood by faith in the word of truth, sealed with the Spirit in baptism, and called to the hope of an inheritance in the new world that is to come. An eternal mystery in the heart of God, created in Christ Jesus for an eternal destiny in the vision of God. That's a pretty high view of the church, I say, don't you think? From beginning to end, the church holds a special place in God's plan of restoring his creation. The church is really the beginning of God's plan to unite all things in heaven and on earth under the lordship of Christ for the glory of God. Turns out this little church, in God's mind, is a big deal. So Paul has a high view of the church. But that is different than a triumphalist view of the church. A triumphalist view of the church makes too much of the church so that the church can say and do no wrong, can hurt no one, can sin no more. And Paul knows all too well that the church is beset by the devil and the flesh. He knows all too well that the church has serious issues, and he deals extensively with its transgressions and scandals in letters like Galatians and 1 Corinthians. But unlike these letters, in his exhortation to the church in Ephesus, Paul is not trying to put out some fire. He's simply exhorting the Ephesians to act in accordance with their identity, to walk according to the calling they have precisely as the church of Christ on earth. He writes, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Humility, gentleness, patience, love. What are these but the fruit of the Spirit? What are these but the character of Christ, who, though God, became a servant for our sake? That's what the church, united to Christ and to one another, looks like in a world so full of hostilities and divisions. By contrast, a triumphalist church comes across as proud and arrogant, harsh and preachy, impatient and pushy, vindictive and judgmental. It draws attention, but for the wrong reasons. But this is not the way of Jesus or his Spirit. And so Paul is urging the Ephesians to hang tight, to be different from the world, to act like the church they have been called to be, to walk like a people called to be Christ-like in their dealings with one another. He's calling the body to reflect the life of its head, of its Lord Jesus, to imitate his humility and patience and gentleness and love, so as to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, I think sometimes we do not see the gift that is the church because we are too close to it, or close enough to it to see the good, the bad, and the ugly in it. As future pastors and deaconesses, you will be in the front lines of the church's ministry. You're going to be close to the church in the nitty-gritty of everyday life, with all the joys and the burdens. You're going to be there in good and tough seasons. And you will feel on your shoulders the weight of serving the Lord in the company of people who are justified and sinners at the same time. The same church that blesses you will also hurt you. And in those difficult moments where pride wants to take over humility, hardness over gentleness, impatience over forbearance, bitterness over love, dissension over unity, we will need to step back, take a deep breath, and see the church anew from God's bigger perspective, lest we lose the forest for the trees. So, why don't we give it a try? Let's see the church from God's perspective this morning, Ephesians style. For our comfort and for our edification and to restore our faith in the church once again, here is a quick glimpse of Paul's teaching on the church. Note especially the references to the place of unity in God's plan of salvation. The Father's plan for the fullness of time is to bring about a new creation. He will do this by uniting in Christ all things in heaven and on earth. In this new creation, the church is the beginning of God's bringing about his eternal plan of uniting all things in Christ. By uniting the church forever to the Lord Jesus, as a body is united to its head through faith and baptism, God has made this church a new humanity whose members are also united to one another. And through Christ's death on the cross, God has made possible the removal of all divisions among humans, beginning with the hostilities between Jews and Gentiles. He has begun to reconcile these divisions through that church by making people of all nations one body under Christ, living in peace with one another. In other words, the church's unity, which the Spirit creates and to which we are called, is a sign and witness of what God wants to do to unite all things in Jesus Christ. And finally, because of her union with Christ, the church is also called to one hope in him, to look forward to her destiny in the joy of an eternal inheritance in the resurrection and the vision of God in the new creation. At that time, God will fully reveal that he is over all, through all, in all, and all things in heaven and on earth will be fully united under Christ. In short, from God's point of view, the church is an eternal mystery in the heart of God, created in Christ Jesus for an eternal destiny in the vision of God. Right? I mean, wow. It's a lot to take in if you think about it, right? This little church, what? But you know, sometimes it's good to step back and look at the whole picture, a God's picture. Yes, there will be times to point out what is not right with the church. Yes, there will be times to call the church to repentance, beginning with me. But today, remember this. The one God and Father of all has promised to work over, through, and in this little church on earth, even now, with its wrinkles and stains and all. This one little church, which does not look like much to the world, in order to make the mystery of his plan to unite all things under Christ known to us. Knowing all this, how can we not put the joy back in church? In the name of Jesus, amen.